See, the young ones are already picking their spot. Going on ahead without any encouragement today. Probably weren't expecting me today, since I was just here a couple weeks ago. But Matt asked me to fill his spot today because they were going up to bring Morgan home this morning from college. She had a birthday yesterday, and so they were taking her out to breakfast and doing all those family things this morning. So here I am to bring you the Word of God. So we're going to be... I've entitled the lesson Called for Service today. It took me a long time to come up with a title. I wanted to be right today, and for the verses that the Lord had showed me and that we come up with to share with you. I want to begin with a verse out of Luke chapter 1. The thing that I really want to get across this morning is that when God calls you for something, He'll equip you for what He's called you for. He's so good at it. I've kind of have to say it like Matt did. When I was young, I was about as backwards as they come, and wouldn't have been able to get up in front of people. I didn't enjoy it. Didn't like being in front of people. I was shy and just because I was always a little guy. I was always really short for my age. And, just wasn't big by any means, and I was just a little guy, and I was just kind of quiet and stayed in the background. But God called me to serve when I was really young. I was an elder in a church when I was probably 25 years old, I think, when I was first called to be an elder. Big responsibility. It was, again, more than I wanted, but I knew it was the call of God. So, and I can tell you that God changed me. He made, you know, just like the disciples. When you look at the disciples that God called, they were just average, ordinary people, like Matt and I were, just ordinary people. And He called them for a big task, and they were able to fill it because He equipped them. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," and this is Mary, after the angel had come to her. "So I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." You think about if she had argued with God and said, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to fill this spot." I think about that here in the church. If when you're asked to do something, you said, "I don't want to fill that spot," then who would fill the spots? We're all called to acts of service. We're all called to serve the Lord in some capacity and to serve each other. And so those are the kind of scriptures that we're going to look at today. So if you would bow your heads and pray with me before we begin. Father, I thank you today that you've called us to serve. Father, that you give us a servant's heart, that you change us to be what you want us to be, and that you take us as we are and mold us and make us into what you want. I know, Lord, that if you waited till we were the way you wanted us before you called us, we'd probably be that way for a long time. And so I thank you, Father, that you form us, mold us, and make us into your image. Father, cause us to see today from your word that each one of us is called to serve in one capacity or another. I And Lord, we thank you that you didn't make us all the same, but that you made each one of us different. Our desires are different. So each one of us can fill a spot that is unique to us. And so thank you for that, Lord. Father, as we look at your word this morning, just speak to our hearts, open our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I think, let's go to Isaiah first. I was going to start right in Luke, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 48. There's just a verse here in chapter 48 that I'd like to share. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. So this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You know, Matt talked to us last week about the sovereignty of God. There's no one above him. He's above all other gods and any authority on earth. He is the authority. And first of all, as godly people, we have to establish that the authority of God's word. We have to establish that it is his word, that we will take it as his word, and that the very word of God that we read speaks to us about how to live life, how to carry on as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're different than the world. It's quite a change, isn't it, Stan? Quite a change. All of us started out in the world. So all of you know the difference between living in the world, living for Jesus Christ. But in we're talking here about the Sovereign Lord, and just the verse above that, it says, now the Sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. And then on down there after his introduction, it says, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. So if he gives you a place to serve, he's going to show you how to do it. The best way that it can be done. He doesn't mess around with halfway. He wants it done his way, which is always the best way. Now let's go back to Luke. I want to show you an example of Jesus. And this one I just was in my daily Bible reading, so I just found it as I was reading my dailies yesterday. And this is an example of Jesus as a servant. He said in verse, I'm going to begin with verse 25 and following in Luke chapter 22. It says, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest. The one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater? The one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So here's another verse that shows he's there for us. He's praying for Simon. He knew what Simon was going to go through. Simon Peter, this is almost to the end of Jesus' life here. He just had spent the evening with the disciples and had communion with them and broke bread and drank the cup with them, and so he was almost at the end of his life, and they knew that Simon was going to be going through a really tough time. He said, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. I've asked the Father to take care of you. And you know that he's there doing that for each of us every day, because it's Satan's job to deceive us too. He says he's come to kill us, to destroy us. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. But the Father, Jesus is there with the Father daily. See Lexi down there? See what she's going through? Needs a little help today. See Stan down there? Needs some help today. You can all put your name in there, because Jesus is praying to the Father for you every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't have to do it alone. And I learned pretty early on in a life of serving the Lord that He'll give you the words to say. If we had to get up here on our own without the Father's advice, I wouldn't even do it. I would not do it. I wouldn't come up here, because that's how much I depend on Him. And it's always good to know at the end of the day that you've heard God, that you've heard His voice. But sometimes Satan puts that into our heart, doesn't he, man? You really believe that's what the Lord's telling you? Yeah. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here telling you. So just know that we seek the Lord's face before we come here and share with you guys. And so, but there's an example there of Jesus as a servant. And He recommends that all of us, instead of seeking head of the table, to come as one who serves. This is His advice here in verse 27. It says, "But I am among you as one who serves." So we are to be like Him. Now let's go back to the beginning of Luke, and I want to share Mary's story here and how she served, the capacity that she served in. So let's begin in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'" So you ladies can just imagine what you would be thinking if an angel came to you like that and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." First of all, have any of you ever seen an angel? Any of you ladies seen an angel? You have? Very nice. Patsy has seen angels. Anybody else? Okay, has an angel ever come to any of you and spoken to you? So, I mean, just imagine the fright of that. So she's never been married. She's a virgin. She's young, very young, starting out her life. And an angel comes to her and gives her that kind of a greeting, says, "You're highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, it says in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." You suppose that her fear was ebbing any as the angel went on? It seems like she would be getting more anxious, doesn't it? I mean, she's laying out a lot of stuff. The angel's laying out a lot of stuff here for Mary. Pretty heavy. She doesn't know how this can happen, because she's never been with a man. "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." And always remember verse 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. And then that's why I started with verse 38 this morning, because Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said." She didn't argue with her, or with the angel. It may have been her, I don't know. She didn't argue with the angel, but she said, "I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do." And I don't know how many times that I've argued with God and said, "No, I don't want to do that." But when he calls you to a task, he equips you for it. He will always do that. Let's go back to the Psalms now. There's several different places in the Psalms. We're going to begin in 16. As you're going back there, go clear to the front of the Psalms. Quite a few places in the Psalms that where Jesus talks about taking us, helping us, equipping us. And verse 11 of chapter 16 is where I want to start today. And this whole 16th chapter is good. But if I read all of the things that are talking about this, we would be here pretty much all day, like the children of Israel were when they stood and listened to the Word of God hour after hour after hour. Verse 11 says that you have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So not only has he made known to us the path of life, but he's made a way for to us to live in joy as we serve him, as we serve one another. We can do it joyfully. Praise the Lord. It's not always, everything that we do in life is not always joyful. But I can say that service probably brings the most joy of anything else that we do here on earth, as we serve one another, as we serve the Lord, as we walk in His ways. Just flip over a couple more pages to 19. Chapter 19, I want to begin there with verse 7. This is another Psalm of David, as most of them are. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." This is talking about the Word of God, the covenants that He's made, the commandments that He's given us. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So there's a lot of good stuff here in those five verses, about God's statutes and precepts and His commands, His laws. This is one of the sections of Scripture that has been put into song, and that's why one of the reasons I can remember this one, because it's a song that we used to sing a lot as we were growing up in the Lord. And then if you look right on down at verse 14, it says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now on over to Psalm 73. Oh, 73, let's begin 23. We'll go down through the end of the chapter there. These verses talking about Him just being with us all the time, always with us. It says, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me with my right hand." And if you think about that, that the Father's just holding our hand, walking along with us. I think about it as a young father, when my children were old enough to take my hand and walk along with me, I was just really begin to enjoy life. And you know, up to that point, where I had to carry them and change diapers, and by the time they started walking and holding my hand and going along, why, the diapers were about done, and companionship began. They became my little companions. You know, they were clear down here. They'd take my hand and walk along and just trust me. Whatever I wanted to do with them, they were glad to do it. And what a great life that was. And think about that with the Father. He's holding out His hand and just going along the day with you. Just sharing your day. Going along with you. Verse 24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, He will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from You will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to You. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of Your deeds." So He's always with us. And here's a reference to our Sovereign Lord again. God is above all gods. He takes us by the hand, walks with us, and is always with us, doesn't leave us or forsake us ever. And then Psalms 143. Psalms 143 and verse, let's begin in verse 7, go down through 10. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails, and sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes we'll get to where our spirit just fails. It doesn't, can't keep up. Seems like we're by ourselves. And David said, or the psalmist here, it is David. The psalmist says, do not hide your face from me, or I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground. So sometimes we get to the end of our rope, we get to where it's hard to even look up. We have to rely on Him for our strength. But He teaches us, He shows us the way we should go. He shares life with us. I found another thing in these books that the church got us leaders for, or by Max Lucado, or just, it's just a good way for me to start my day. And the one for yesterday just fit with what the Lord was showing me that He wanted to share it with us today. And so I want to end with this here today. And it uses the verse, a couple verses here out of Luke 1. It says, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. You go on there in Luke 1, Mary rejoices that God chose her to carry His Son. And so that's what this daily lesson was about. It says, it was the servant spirit of Mary that led God to select her to be the mother of Jesus. She wasn't a scholar or a sophisticated socialite. She was simple. A peasant, if you will. She blended into the crowd. She hailed from Nazareth, a dusty village in an oppressed district in Galilee. In the social strata of her day, Mary occupied the lowest step. So she was in low class of people. We're recommended not to class people today, but it still gets done. There's still some who think they're upper class, and some of us are lower class. But Mary fit into the low class. She was simple. She didn't stand out. She blended in. As a Jew, she answered to the Romans. As a female, she was subservient to males. That was their custom. Females were all subservient to the males. And so that was their custom. As a young girl, she was second to the older women. She was poor, so she was beneath the upper class. Mary was extraordinarily ordinary. So she was really ordinary. She was plain, she was simple. Yet this virtue set her apart. You know, scriptures that the Lord has asked that we be humble, that we walk in humility. And so Mary was very humble. She walked in humility totally. But this virtue set her apart. She said there in Luke 1:38, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me as you say. When God wanted to bring Christ into the world, He looked for a servant. No diploma required, no bloodline specified. Bank accounts were not a factor. Place of birth didn't matter. Let all unassuming people of the world be reminded, God can use you. So don't think that you can't be used by God, because you can. If I can be from my humble beginnings, then so can you. We're no different. So I would challenge you today to seek God's will and what He wants you to do in service, not only for Him, but for one another. And as we serve one another, as we care for one another, the joy that comes from that is just above any other kind of joy. That's the way God planned it. That's His plan. So when, and sometimes Julie has to ask us to serve another in some capacity or another, spots that need filled. So when you're asked, consider it God who's asking. Say, yes, I'd love to. We don't always do that, do we? It's not the way we're made. But I think that God wants to change our hearts so that each one of us will have a servant's heart. Serve in some capacity. Because we know that it takes all of us to make the cart go around the hill. And so just remember that if you don't fill that spot then that God has picked for you, somebody else will have to fill it, because all the spots have to be filled. So you might as well do one of them. Amen. So as the musicians come to close us out today, if any of you need prayer for anything at all, I'll be here to pray with you. If anybody else would like to come up and help me pray for people, that's fine. I'm the only one of the elders here today. But we'll take care of it. If any of you have never accepted the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity today as well, that you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and begin your life with Him. So have that opportunity. So as they sing this last song, if any of you need prayer,